This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The explosion of the craft beer industry in Kalamazoo has been good news for the breweries, which are operating and opening in the city. It's also been good for their thirsty customers. But a recent article for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave shows us that craft beer is also leading to spin-off businesses in Kalamazoo. Jeremy Martin is the craft brew writer for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave. Jeremy, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Gordon.
What made you want to write about this subject in particular?
Well, it's just another extension of what's happening in craft beer in Kalamazoo and in the surrounding area as well. You know, people in this city and in Michigan, and I'm finding actually throughout the country, are, as you had mentioned, thirsty for craft, for something handmade, something that they can't just go to Walmart and purchase. They want something either made for them or something that represents them and the area they come from. And that has really been the underlying ethos with craft beer ever since it reemerged in the late 80s, is it's been tied to place, it's been tied to artistry and in craft in general. And now people are really taking to that, and they want that in their other products. They want that in soaps. They want that in their clothing. They want that in experiences as well, such as brewery tours. They want love put behind the products and the experiences that they have, and they want it to be tied to something that they can appreciate and that they can grasp.
You start your story by asking, what do a bar of soap, a walking tour, and a feature-length film all have in common? And you tell us that each one was created because of and in support of the local craft beer industry. So let's work backwards. What about that feature-length film?
Yeah, so that's a really neat idea. That was done by Rhino Media and headed up by a really cool gentleman named Kevin Romeo. He's from Kalamazoo here. Rhino Media does a lot of promotions and publicity work for local breweries, among other places, though they work with a lot of the community. They also do wedding videos and basically any kind of multimedia websites and that sort of thing. But as I was talking with Kevin, he had basically said, do we want to be known as a company that works for hire, or do we want to make our own content? And as he juggled that idea, the first thing that popped into his mind is craft beer. We want to be involved with craft beer, and we want to tell the story of the beer in general, but also of how it's helped build the city back up. And with their contacts within the brewing industry in Kalamazoo and the greater community, they were able to put together really what turned out to be the first full-length feature documentary on craft beer in Michigan. And it's been a neat thing. It's really taken off outside of Kalamazoo. It had showings at theaters all across the state. You can find it on the internet. They're selling the DVD with commentary. Breweries have done showings of it. And it's neat. And Kevin even told a story about a guy up in UP who saw the film, wasn't really sure what he wanted to do with his life, but all of a sudden, just like that, like a light bulb went off, knew that whatever it was going to be in Kalamazoo, it was going to be with craft beer, and he ended up moving down here and getting a job with Michigan Mobile Canning, which is a company that, as it sounds, goes around to the breweries and helps them can and distribute their beer. So it's another amazing thing that is, it was a fun project for this company to work on, and all of a sudden it's bringing people to Kalamazoo and tying a community together even tighter. It's just neat to look at.
And leading to another spinoff business.
Absolutely. So Michigan Mobile Canning this is not the first time this has happened. It is the first time in Michigan, but this was based on an idea that was happening in Colorado and California. And canning has really taken off over the last 4 or 5 years. People are realizing that good beer can be canned. It isn't just bottles. It isn't just draft. And cans in general, they're lighter. They're not going to shatter when dropped. You can take them to the beach. You can take them on a boat. They're easier to ship. They come in square containers. So fuel costs are decreased. It's an economically and ethically better way to ship beer. And it's the same amount of the product as well. But canning lines are expensive. It can be up to $100,000 to install one. And that's, of course, it has to be custom fitted into your facility, which different sizes, different angles, different capacities everywhere you go. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So this company, Michigan Mobile Canning, has a canning line that can bend, it can adjust to various angles and shapes in the brewery, and they basically truck it in, set it up in your brewery, and they hang out for a day or two and can what you need, the beer that you need canned. And it can be done in an afternoon for small batches. It can be done over the course of a weekend for larger batches. And they're now in Michigan and Indiana, which is really neat. And they're growing. And they've been growing for a couple of years now as breweries are deciding whether or not they want to put lines in of their own or if they want to continue using this service. And one of the things they told me is they don't want to be the be-all and end-all of canning. What they want to do is introduce breweries to canning, have them use their service, be able to save money, and then decide if they want to put their own lines in. So it's another idea of collaboration and of building towards something bigger and not just trying to, I guess, be the top dog. You know, just trying to help everybody out is what this whole thing is all about.
So how about the walking tour?
Yeah, so that was set up by West Michigan Beer Tours, which is John Liberty, formerly of the Kalamazoo Gazette, and Eric Faber, good friend of ours. It's a spinoff of their craft beer tour business, where they either are for hire for companies, weddings, different groups of people, or they set up individual tours that you can buy a spot on. And they drive around in a really, really nice luxury coach and go brewery to brewery. Sometimes they'll do West Michigan. Sometimes they'll head east towards Detroit and Ann Arbor. They've gone to Tiger Games. They've gone to Chicago. They've gone up north. But this idea is new this summer, and what they're doing, and they're also doing a bike tour, which is really neat now that the new pop-up bike lanes are in. So what they're doing is taking people around to the downtown Kalamazoo breweries, and there's 8 breweries downtown Kalamazoo right now, with a 9th popping up once Bright Eyes opens just down Burdick. And so not only are they giving people backstage tours of all the breweries, showing off the different styles of beer, but they're giving a historical context to it as well and showing off Kalamazoo in its historical context. And that's one of the things I mentioned in the story is now we're not just known for education in guitars, it's also beer. Well, they show off the education and the guitar making, and they go by the old Gibson plant, and they talk about the Celery City and about flavoring plants and paper making and the whole history of Kalamazoo in industry is shown off throughout this tour, along with architecture and famous people. I think they stop by one of the graveyards and show off, you know, different spots of well-known former residents. And it is just neat. You're able to really understand the history of the city and become a part of it while also drinking some really, really amazing beer. And it's not just local people that take this tour. People come in from all over, from Chicago, from up north, from Ohio and Indiana, to learn about Kalamazoo and be a part of it, be a part of the industry.
So is Kalamazoo becoming better known now for beer than it is for those other things you mentioned, you know, free college and guitars? And I guess I'm also wondering if now maybe craft beer is in some ways tied back to some of the other things which have happened in Kalamazoo related to innovation.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Kalamazoo for a long time has been known as a place where people can come, and it's, I like to call it the West of the Midwest. You know, people come to Kalamazoo and sort of reinvent themselves and become part of a new scene, and it's all about arts and creativity in this city, and it has been for a long time. And yeah, craft beer plays right into that. And it's yes, we are becoming known as a craft beer capital, but I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just an extension of everything else we've done in this city. It just shows off our innovativeness and the fact that we're resilient. And yeah, we were absolutely demolished by a tornado in 1980, and we had recession issues, and you know, buildings didn't boom the way that we'd hoped they would, but everyone has bounced back, and we found new things to get involved in. And craft beer is part of that, and so is wine and cider and now film and music, and it all ties together. But craft beer is one of those things that it's not only bringing the community together, it's not only giving us a rallying point and saying, look at this amazing thing we can do. but it's bringing people in. It is. It's bringing people in from Chicago and from around the state and around the Midwest and even outside of the area. Really well-known brewers want to come to Kalamazoo and see what we're doing, see what Larry's doing at Bell's, see what Tim Surprises is doing at Arcadia, with this, especially with the new Kalamazoo site and all of these new brew pubs and nano breweries popping up. And why? Why a city of 74,000 people can we have 9 breweries plus more outside the area? It's an interesting and exciting time to be involved in Kalamazoo, and I think more and more people are understanding that.
And then back one more time to the lead of your story. How does a bar of soap work into all of this?
Well, people have to look good. They've got to be clean if they want to go out, right?
Sure.
So Damn Handsome Grooming Company, what they do is they make soap, they make grooming products, they make shaving cream, lotion, all sorts of really, really neat things, and they do it from spent brewing ingredients. Not entirely, of course, but they use hops and malts and barleys to accent their products, both to give them, you know, excellent, both for the smell, for the aesthetic of it, but also for the cleansing properties that the plants have, which is neat. And they've worked with the breweries to take away some of their spent grains and some of their used hops, and they've developed this really, really nice relationship with a lot of the brewers in town. And I was speaking with them about selling their products as well, and I said, you know, a lot of the breweries have their own little brewery stores where they sell T-shirts and beer and swag and that sort of thing. I asked, do you get your products in those stores? And they're very hesitant to put their products in those company stores because they don't want to step on other people's turf as well. They understand that that retail setting is purely for the brewery's profit. And so they work primarily off of Etsy and off of their website, damnhandsomegrooming.com. And they're now one of, believe it or not, I think there is another soap company. Is it the Kalamazoo Soap Company that is also doing the exact same thing to an extent, which is neat. It's just showing that it's another product that people want. They want to be tied to the brewing scene, and they want to support local business. So Kalamazoo now has 2 soap companies in town making beer soap, which is pretty cool.
How much of this is collaborative? How much of this is sort of, you know, respecting the turf, as you mentioned, about you don't want to go into the brewery store where they're trying to sell things? Have these businesses and the breweries sort of worked out some agreements on how much they're going to work together and at what point it would perhaps cross a line of you're infringing on what we're trying to do?
Sure, yeah, many have. West Michigan Beer Tours, for example, works very closely with all of the breweries they go to. Rhino Media has a great relationship with the brewing industry, and Damn Handsome does as well. But then you do have a lot of smaller companies and just individuals, say, using Etsy to create, you know, bottle openers and T-shirts and products that are actually used beer caps and use the logos from the breweries. And how legal all of that is, I'm not 100% certain. I think a lot of it falls into a sort of gray area. I don't think a lot of the products are officially licensed by the breweries. But for the most part, it's all the businesses, especially the ones that are strictly online, are so small at this point that what it is free advertisement for the brewers. But I think for the most part, no one's really stepping on each other's toes. And everyone, and even the brewers I've talked to, have basically, most of them have stated that what's good for one company is good for everybody. It is. It brings people in. It raises awareness for the brewing scene. And if some people are making a little bit of money on the side with T-shirts or bottle openers or this or that, it really hasn't had any negative effects so far. And most people, while they're at the breweries, are more than willing to drop a few extra bucks at the store as well and pick up an official T-shirt or a official bottle opener or a hat. That hasn't really been an issue that I've seen.
So as you mentioned, we are on the cusp of having 9 breweries in Kalamazoo. Lots of people have wondered, I think, over the years, at some point, is Kalamazoo going to hit peak beer? And I guess I'm wondering, from these spinoff businesses, do they think about that in the back of their minds, that at some point this is not going to be as sustainable as it's been so far?
That's absolutely a question on a lot of people's mind, and there is no definitive answer to that. It's always been a, well, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it point. But, I mean, some things to really consider are there are over 3,000 breweries in this country alone right now, but we're still not at pre-prohibition levels of small breweries. At the turn of the century, in the 19th into the 20th, there were over 4,000 breweries in this country. And there were only 75 million people and two fewer states. There are a lot more people in this country right now. I think, what is it, 320 million people or something like that in the United States, and 1,000 breweries less than there were in 1900. So the question of when the bubble will break, I think we still have a while to go. Besides, one of the big things with craft beer is that a lot of the breweries have their own niche. Not everyone is trying to be Bell's or Arcadia or Founders, for that example. They're not trying to distribute internationally. They're not trying to, you know, get into every single state. A lot of breweries aren't even trying to bottle. Tibbs, for example, right next to the State Theater on Burdick there, they're what's considered a nano brewery. They make basically enough beer for the week. They ran out of their first weekend open. They ran out of beer. They just didn't have enough. Their capacity wasn't large enough. Old Peninsula makes beer to serve with their food. Everyone is really doing a good job of finding their own place. And there have already been breweries that have closed. I mean, look at Craft Brow. That was one of the first breweries after the craft beer boom to open up in Kalamazoo, and they barely made it up in 90s. And there have been some other examples of breweries that haven't made it, but a lot of that has more to do with business practice or advertising than a watered down or saturation of the market. So there's still, believe it or not, there's still a lot of room to grow. And as these other side businesses promote the brewing industry, I think that's only going to build into that and allow for more growth. More and more people are willing to take a chance on a brewery they've never heard of just because they've had so many good experiences in the past, and that's just more money in everybody's pocket.
Jeremy Martin, thank you very much for your time.
Well, of course. Thanks, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
Jeremy Martin is the craft brew writer for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.